Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, as you all know, and I'm thrilled that you're with us today. This is going to be fun. I love hearing from listeners through robertagrimes.com, although occasionally someone will come along. They'll send me a question that's a real stumper for me. A few months back, someone who had lost a relative with a mental illness asked me about mental illness in the afterlife, and I knew almost nothing about that topic. And I generally don't want to know about that kind of thing anyway. I only like the happy stuff, the puppies and the sunshine and all of that. But mental illness of various kinds affects many people. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized there were a lot of ways in which mental health issues could interact with afterlife questions. So I began to want to know more myself. I turned to my wonderful friend, Suzanne Wilson, who is not only the greatest living evidential medium, but she has some familiarity with the problem of mental illness. And she, in turn, enlisted Mark Pitstick, who is a spirituality-based counselor, and he's working closely right now with Dr. Gary Schwartz at the University of Arizona at Tucson. They're both with us today. So we have got the A-team working on this one. Welcome to you both. I'm so thrilled you're here.
Thank you. An honor to be here.
So awesome. Thank you.
You've both been guests on Seek Reality in the past, so we didn't spend a lot of time doing full introductions. What I'd like to do, though, is ask each of you, Suzanne first, to tell our listeners who may not have heard of you before just a little bit about yourselves and why this is an area of special interest for you.
I think this is about my fourth or fifth time on the show, Roberta.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm so grateful for that opportunity. Working with you is amazing. So I'm known as a carefree medium because I live and work out of Carefree, Arizona, and I do believe that when we are knowledgeable about how to connect with our own spiritual team of guides, angels, and loved ones in the light, that we can live a more carefree life. So I am a spiritual medium of the evidential sort, meaning that when I bring through a spirit, they're giving those tiny details that no one could possibly know, so you know it's really them. And mostly my passion these days is teaching. I teach over the computer classes in intuition development, in mediumship development, and then, of course, an author of Soul Smart, What the Dead Teach Us About Spirit Communication, which, Roberta, you actually helped me form and shape and wrote the foreword for. I've gotten so much feedback. People need this ABC 123 list of how to make their own connection. And so, you know, that's what we've done with that book. But my interest in mental health, when you sent me that email, I thought, God, why aren't people talking about this?
Yeah, it's
mental illness is so prevalent. I was counseled as a child. I was 9 years old, sent to a child psychologist because my mom and my stepfather thought maybe, you know, I was like a screw loose here because I was talking about seeing colors and lights around people. And not only that, later on, we realized that my mother was bipolar and schizophrenia runs in her side of the family. So I have a lot of experience with this.
That's the story.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. Now, Mark, quickly, you're a counselor who works with people with mental illness, right?
Well, I'll cover that. I was in pre-med studies and started working in hospitals and was around many people with physical and, quote, mental ailments, especially seeing people who died by suicide and so on. So I decided to start working for suicide education and prevention counseling in my youth, and then decided to go to theology school instead, and took all the pastoral counseling they had, internship at a psychiatric hospital, et cetera. After that, I got a master's degree in clinical psychology and practiced at two mental health centers and private counseling for a couple years. And then doctor of chiropractic because I wanted to do holistic health care. And 32 years of that, treating body, mind, and spirit. So any day I will, every day I deal with people with, quote, mental symptoms.
Wow. Yes. So what we're going to try to do today is help people understand what the interface is between what we now are beginning to understand is true about the afterlife and the fact that some people here have mental illnesses. You know, was it something they chose? Does it affect the mind, or is it really just only the brain? I mean, there are lots of things I know people are interested in hearing. I mean, just what my particular questioner wanted to know at the time was, it was a brother who had a mental illness and finally killed himself. And the question was, did his brother plan to have that mental illness? Was it planned into his lifetime? Or do you have any sense about that, Suzanne and Mark?
Well, I wouldn't speak to any specific case myself, but what I will say is that sometimes mental illness is part of the soul's plan, that we meet with our guides and we plan certain major experiences in our life, either because it's of service to that soul's growth, or it will serve the growth of the soul of someone in that family. So, and sometimes both, which is a win-win. Even though it's very difficult, it can be a gift. On the other hand, sometimes I think psychic or intuitive abilities can be mistaken for psychosis. So that can go either way. And then finally, the third thing is, I think some advanced souls just sort of crash land here without a plan and maybe just can't handle Earth because it's a lower vibration. So that's my two cents.
That's an interesting thing. We should pursue that. What do you think, Mark? Is this something people plan, or what, or why are people born this way?
Yeah, well, first of all, before I even answer that, there's so much of a foundation to build. I mean, talking about mental illness, what does that term even mean? That'd be like saying physical illness or such a range. So mental illness includes from mild neuroses, personality quirks, to profound psychosis. So that's the first thing. In my holistic practice, I've found that most cases of people who supposedly have a mental illness, it's just an imbalance, and some sort of imbalance or another. And I'm talking depression, bipolar, anxiety, panic attacks, ADD, ADHD, you name it. They respond when you tune up the body. It can be a deficiency of certain calming minerals, essential fatty acids. It can be too many chemicals and heavy metals impacting the brain. So, you know, it depends on the degree of the mental illness. It depends on the type. Mental illnesses are so often misdiagnosed. I get probably once a week, I get a new patient in, and I'm looking at their medication list, and, oh, I see you've been on Zoloft for 15 years. Yes, my doctor says I have depression. Really, what was going on when you got on this? My husband died. I said, well, that's not depression. That's called sadness. Of course, yes. You're sad when a loved one passes. Yeah, that's what I thought too. But I said, so why are you still on 15 years? I don't know. He didn't tell me to quit taking it. So there's a misdiagnosis and a mistreatment, which can make the problem worse and cause depression. So given that caveat, do I think some people plan to have a mental illness from the soul perspective? I think that might happen for a couple reasons. First of all, souls can make impulsive choices of a body and brain. You know, ideally, a soul will make a good match so that they can reach their soul's goals when they're on Earth. But younger souls are sometimes in a rush. Oh, I don't want to hear what the guys have to say. I know it all. And so they pick a body that may not be a good match, and then they get here, and it's just so overwhelming that they have mental illness. Another angle on that I see is that I believe that some souls volunteer to come here and suffer, whether it's mentally or physically, to be like a canary in a coal mine, to warn the rest of us of what we're doing to our environment, our food, air, and water. And finally, the last comment I make on that is advanced souls, they know that the time on Earth is a blink of an eye. They know they're one with the one and so on. So out of love, they will come here and pretend to be a mental patient so that healthcare workers have somebody to work on.
Oh, how interesting. But these are, I guess I want to stress something. This is, my understanding is these are bodily illnesses. They express as something going on in the brain that makes the person seem to be not sane or balanced. But they're not of the mind itself. The mind that comes into this body is not ill, right?
Well, consciousness is completely whole upon death of the body. It's just like stepping out of, you know, Roberta, you've called it a meat suit. You step away from the meat suit. I call it like getting out of your old used car. And you're free. So whatever was in the mental and physical and emotional is healed. But you're very observant when you get to the other side of what that experience was like. You feel how everyone felt around you. And most souls, that my friends in the dead community tell us, will take a little nappy poo in a hall of healing, is some of the terminology I've heard, and just rest, because maybe they did have a tough time, but when they wake up, they hear all the thoughts and prayers that others have said for them, and then they can do the analysis of, gee, whew, what a roller coaster ride that was. So yeah. I don't want anybody out there to think that your mentally ill loved one or your schizophrenic son or brother or whoever is over there still suffering. They are not. They are whole.
Yeah. I think that's a very important point to make. And also, what about the lesser kinds of things? Like, I mean, many people have quirks, obsessive compulsive disorder, attention deficit disorder, autism, or they're on the spectrum, the autism spectrum. All of those, are those also bodily illnesses, or are they just quirks?
I would defer to Mark on that one, but I feel like those are things that are completely healed upon passing over, and they could be part of that bigger picture of life learning and experience, either for the person suffering or for the person around them to learn something. Like, they could be learning compassionate detachment, like, I just got to detach from the outcome of whatever is going on over here because this person has OCD. I'm not going to be angry. Or you can learn patience. So many things that you can learn from that. What do you think, Mark?
Well, again, this is such a complex topic that it's difficult to even choose words to talk about in an informed way. But I like the way, Roberta, you're breaking down. Is it brain? Is it organic? Or is it more mind / personality? So I agree with Suzanne that if it's a brain-based disorder, let's say a person has a really serious biochemical disorder, or the person I mentioned who impulsively chose a poor soul-body match, then when they pass on, I agree, it's going to be complete relief. Aren't we like, oh my God, what a nightmare that was to have dropped that body brain.
Right.
However, if the, quote, mental symptoms are part of the mind, of the person's mind, that is their personality, their memories, their tendencies, and so on, then in my opinion, that's something that the soul will have to work on. In other words, from my sense, is that physical death is not a complete reset. It doesn't make the stupid wise, and it doesn't make the imbalance balance. You know, if we were made perfect, we would be robots. So that's the sort of thing then that souls can choose to work on, whether on the other side or when they come back here.
And especially, I think, if someone who has a severe mental illness causes someone else harm as a result of it, or because they're deep in it, I would think that that's something that they would, when they got back home, they would realize was something they had done and they needed to deal with. It wouldn't just go away as if it wasn't their fault. I think people take responsibility, don't you, for what they do, even if they weren't quite maybe making the decision consciously to do something wrong to someone else.
Yeah, for sure. And there's these people, my friends in the dead community, I call them, also known as Heaven, Summerland, Third Level, whatever we want to call it, that, you know, to Mark's point, the personality is the same. You don't die and become omniscient and perfect and just some sweetie pie. Like, if you were a selfish jerk when you're here in the physical, you kind of arrive there as a selfish person, but then slowly it dawns on you about the greater reality and where you fit in, and every soul still has an opportunity to grow. But I've still met, you know, I had a lady just recently who her mother was coming in from spirit, and her mother says, I know it was all about me. I know I made myself the center of the universe there. And she goes, I still am kind of a selfish person, but I want to let you know that I know that that hurt you. and I'm making it up to you from over here. But the woman, the spirit woman's personality and mannerisms, even with me, were like, hey, 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 she was snapping her fingers in my face, like, get back to me. You're talking to so-and-so. I have the floor. I have the floor. So, you know, their personality is the same.
Once a jerk, always a jerk, I guess.
And she was just self-centered. Was she narcissistic according to the clinical definition? I don't know. Mark Pitchstick or somebody would have to evaluate her. But certain elements of personality were still there.
Yeah. Here's my take on that, Roberta. And by the way, these are great questions. Kudos for you for having this show. So much needed. But if a person who has mental imbalances causes harm, again, there's a wide spectrum. So if a, for example, if a person died by a suicide, that hurts so many other people. It's just devastating. However, the other side, the guides and angels and so on, why I call the evolved support team, totally understand that. And so those souls would have an R&R period, sleep for a long time, rest, rehab, and so on, before they have their life review. So the life review is the, quote, punishment, even though it's not designed to punish or judge right. In any way. It's all about growth and service. But when a person then sees and feels the impact they made on others, that's when there's some punishment. That's when there's learning. That's when there's a temporary hell. So, yeah, there's responsibility, and there's you know, for those who want justice, there is justice.
So you treat people with these illnesses, right?
Every day.
Okay. Well, so then does counseling help them? Do they need chemical treatment? Or what are the kinds of treatments that the more serious mentally ill people would have? Just quickly, because we're coming to the end of a segment. But I'm curious to know how you're able to help them when they're here.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. The founders of chiropractic in the late 1800s said that the causes of dis-ease, they broke down the word, are emotional, chemical, or structural. And by emotional, they meant something that would respond to counseling. So, yes, certainly sometimes there is things like breath work to release old wounds and heal stuck energy. Sometimes it's structural. If a person has misalignment of the skull or upper cervical vertebra, that puts pressure on the spinal cord. That alone can cause anxiety and depression and so on. Misalignment of the sternum, the breastbone, can cause panic attacks. And then chemical, the third category, takes into account nutrition, chemicals, heavy metals, things like that that we mentioned that can impact especially the brain.
Wow. So this is, if you have then helped them in this lifetime, it would be an easier task for them, it seems to me, to transition feeling relatively whole, easier than it would be for someone who perhaps had not had any treatment and was still out of control, anxious and upset or depressed or whatever.
Well, the way I look at it, and Suzanne will have good input on this, is they don't have to carry their dirty laundry with them. So when they go back, they're ready to enter a higher level of the Father's mansion.
Wow.
Yeah, and bear in mind that sometimes the mentally ill soul is when they're here, the mentally ill, meaning on the earth, they're an advanced teacher who's coming back for some really tough assignment, but that a lot of growth and healing can come from that.
Now, I wanted to just mention something that many people may not be aware of. People who have a dementia of some sort, senile dementia, Alzheimer's, their brains are fried, but the people are fine inside. And one of the ways we know this is that there's a period shortly before people leave their bodies when often, even if their brains have been very, very impaired, either you know, by accident or because they have one of these senile dementia kinds of things going on, they'll be able to sit up and talk normally with people, which is amazing because that's the process of the mind separating from the body, and the mind still is controlling the body, but it's no longer impaired by the brain. Don't you think that's fascinating, Mark and Suzanne? I mean, I love
it. It's reassuring that the Alzheimer's patient, the personality, the consciousness is always kept safe. It feels like you're losing them. Slowly, they are not lost. their own spiritual team around them, their guides and angels and their loved ones that are in the light, are keeping all those memories and everything safe. And you, as you just mentioned, right before they step out of the body to graduate home to heavenly home, they'll have conversations with their deceased loved ones around them. A great teacher of mine, Alan Arcieri, who's now on the other side, told me, Suzanne, the difference between a medium and an Alzheimer's patient is the medium goes a little bit out of body to make the connection with the spirit world and then comes right back to the body after. The Alzheimer patient goes out of the body and just keeps going and going and going by steps, but is always safe.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's amazing. Right. So after they have transitioned then, and they're, you know, maybe they're feeling wounded or somehow damaged, there's plenty of help for them, right, when they're back home?
We hear about hospitals and spa-like settings, and that's where I hear about halls of healing that have healing rooms in them. If the mental illness has been severe, I've had the souls come in and tell me, at first I really thought I was just in a hospital because people were dressed like doctors and nurses.
Yes.
But it was because I wasn't ready to know that I had transitioned and I had suffered so much. And then it morphed into more of like a spa setting where I took a little nap. But there's highly trained specialists on the other side there to help the loved one when they pass.
Wow, isn't that reassuring? That's so. Do you have any thoughts to add on that, Mark? What are your thoughts on what happens when people die who have these impairments still?
Well, first of all, I agree with Suzanne that the soul is not stuck in the body. So although to the loved ones, it may look like the person with Alzheimer's is suffering, usually they're having a great time. You know, they're
right.
Exploring the universe. So
right.
Needn't worry about that. And there can be a number of reasons from a spiritual standpoint why a person goes through that. They could be burning uncooked seeds. You know, who knows what sort of old karma so on is being burnt up when they have this opportunity to travel like that. Also, we mentioned earlier about the causes of mental illness. Some souls come to Earth to care for others. And so other souls will choose to have Alzheimer's, or that's part of their agenda. And so their loved ones have somebody to care for. When they pass on, they might need some R&R afterwards, just like anybody who's gone through a prolonged dying degeneration downhill, but they would definitely leave the Alzheimer's behind. I'd like to mention, as with the other sorts of mental imbalances, advanced Alzheimer's, I've not had any success with, or we've not, the other docs in the clinic, but mild to moderate, usually always. I just had a fellow in, Ron, yesterday, 67 years old, came in with 10 years of steadily decreasing memory loss. He had been under medical care, all kinds of different meds, and he was going downhill. And also, he was very, very anxious, depressed, and had a very solid suicide plan, like walk out in his backyard and put a pistol to his head. Yesterday was our one-year anniversary of starting holistic treatment with him, and he and his wife agree he's about 70% better. He's calm. He's happy. He's not depressed. His memory's coming back. He can engage in a conversation now. So I just want people to know there are sometimes good holistic answers for this.
Wow. Now, let's talk about children, because I know that parents sometimes find their children maybe seeming not quite normal to them. What advice, Suzanne, do you have for parents who are concerned about their children?
Roberta, I was that child.
That's
and I was lucky that I had a grandfather who got me and understood it, but not everybody did at first. And after about a year and a half of going and seeing the psychologist, he ended up telling them, this is just a very bright, sensitive child. And as far as these lights and things she sees around people and these ghosts or whatever she sees around people, that's just fantasy and that will go away. Well, it didn't. But what I have to say about that was all my experiences were positive. Sure, like a spirit could startle me or something, but there was no real scary, bad, evil stuff going on around me. So first thing I tell a parent is go to the doctor, get an evaluation, but meanwhile, here's what you can do. You teach your children to talk to God and ask their angels to surround them and let them talk to you about what experiences they're having. If anything is scaring them or keeping them awake or whatever, yeah, there an intervention needs to be made because the spirit world is not out to scare little kids. That's very, very rare. Teach them about being grounded in a bubble of protection and always keep an open dialogue. Try not to overreact to what the child is telling you. But I don't diagnose. I don't say don't go to a doctor or do go to a doctor because that's Mark's job. But meanwhile, the parent needs something to hold on to and something to teach the parent. To teach their child, I mean.
What about the indigos, these special children who are coming in that are much more spiritually advanced?
Well, they're coming in with mostly positive experiences, and they'll say something like, Mommy, I remember before when you were my child and I was the mommy.
Yes.
And so our job now, being this other generation, the older generation, is to simply listen. Simply listen and smile and give that child a hug because the indigo and the crystal children are coming in at a completely different vibration from us. We may need to have molecular rearrangements as older folks that happen while we're in our sleep to be able to be in this new vibration that the earth is shifting to. These children now are being born at this higher vibration and, Their challenge is going to be they have to bide their time until their generation matures and they're in charge. Meanwhile, people may want to call them crazy.
How would a parent know that their child is an indigo or a crystal child and therefore they're perfectly fine?
I wouldn't worry about the labels. I would, and I would like Mark to answer that question.
Mark, do you work with these children too?
Well, Most of the parents who bring them in wouldn't use those labels, but I call it evolved souls. And so after working with tens of thousands of people in different settings for 45 years, it's clear to me that more evolved souls need a more balanced body brain. They're more sensitive. So these are the people that have the wheat allergies and so on and chemical allergies. They have to be, just as their soul or their essence is more on a high, fine energy wavelength, their body needs to be too, so they're congruent with each other, so they're on the same wavelength. And so this sometimes, I agree that we need to acknowledge their extrasensory perception gifts and teach them that this is a blessing. You know, it's a sacred
yes.
opportunity here. But also you need to look at things like food allergies. Wheat, for example, absorbs 14 times more pesticides and herbicides than most other grains. And that's one reason why it gives physical and mental symptoms for so many people. On my website, by the way, soulproof.com, there's a series of articles where I discuss all these topics at length and holistic solutions for them, including depression, people who are empaths and sensitive. Sometimes these kids are just so sensitive and in a good way, but then you imagine being around the average kids, the average earthlings who can be beginner or intermediate souls really out of balance, and
right.
It can be difficult.
It could be hard for the children to be absorbing that, yes. Don't you wish that we knew all of this when we were very young? Because I feel as if I'm also learning it now.
Yeah, and you know, there always has to be someone who is the first generation. And that's why we really appreciate you so much, Roberta, because you take the subjects on, you come out and you do your research, you find the best and the brightest and the most cutting edge. And I really applaud you for having a show like this.
Well, thank you, sweetie. I so appreciate you. You have no idea. This is fun. If it were not fun, I would not do it. And frankly, I look forward to it. And I so much enjoy talking with you. I mean, the two of you are between you so knowledgeable in this field. I'm going to want Suzanne, you're not taking additional cusp clients, right? Or people who, what are you
not
doing?
Not for readings. I've shifted gears on the readings where I'm at a point now where I want to teach someone to fish and nourish for a lifetime rather than give them the one reading. So I'm very busy with small groups of just a handful of people that we meet online. We can see each other on the computer, and we do mediumship development and intuitive development. And I'm training some of the next generation of professional mediums, too. Not everybody's going to be a professional medium, just like not everybody's going to be a poet or violinist or a psychiatrist. But everybody can make their own individual connection with their own spiritual teams, and I want to teach the world how to do that.
I think that's an important new development in this field. More and more people are finding that they can, in fact, be in contact with their loved ones. Doesn't mean they're a medium, just means that they've developed that contact. And at the recent symposium, I met a number of people who were very much in contact now with loved ones, and this was recent for them. And they were so thrilled. It was wonderful to see how happy it made them that not only did they know that mom or their husband or whatever wasn't dead, but they also were having fun together still.
And we teach these folks ways to know that it's real and not just your imagination. So you can feel it in the heart. You can feel it in the gut and know that your mind is not just making this up. And that's what's important in this new generation of kids coming in. And even the millennials, they already get that. So they're just like, they're jump-starting the shift in the consciousness higher and higher and higher. It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
Yeah, and also helping people know they're not going crazy. Once a day I get an email from somebody around the country. You know, my dad passed and I could see him in my peripheral vision. Am I losing my mind? Yeah. So it's important that people let people know that.
Absolutely.
Good.
Now, Mark, what else can go wrong that people might experience as a sense that they were having a mental issue?
Well, in my mind, one of the possible causes of mental symptoms would be if a person was influenced by what I'll call imbalanced spirits. As we were on, of course, the panel discussion with George Norrie at the ARIR conference recently, and the original Aramaic for this was wild, chaotic energy. So I'm not talking about little devils. I'm not talking about evil spirits who have lots of power, but I'm talking about imbalanced spirits, weak, confused, malicious, capricious, that sort of thing, stuck spirits. And so if a person on earth is not grounded, for example, if they're drinking way too much alcohol, they can open the door for stuck spirits who are alcoholics or try and get a fix by hanging out around them. If they take too many drugs, whether they're mind expanding or not, it can open the valve or filters. Aldous Huxley talked about this in his book, Doors of Perception, and allow them to see too much of the greater reality, and then they kind of go crazy from it. Or if they're engaging in occult praxis without balancing themselves, without being grounded, shielding and guiding and so on. So this is another area for people to watch on. What's your thoughts on that, Suzanne?
Boy, I tell you, you're spot on. I don't have a lot of experience personally with the imbalanced spirits that are like attaching to people, but I've seen them, and I've seen them too much. And especially when I was having strangers come to my office for a reading, and I literally can spot it instantly because it's like, it's almost like a dark shadow. You talk about a monkey on your back. People talk about the monkey on their back when they're addicted. It really looks like a dark, shadowy figure. And I don't say this to scare people, but I say this to let people know that all your thoughts, words, and actions should be yours, but they can be colored by darker energies that are attached if you open up to it. And Mark said alcohol, drugs. And it's like a cycle that can continue because that monkey on your back is an energy that feeds from your getting high. They want to get as close to it as they can. Now, all of this dark stuff we're talking about is a teensy weensy little infinitesimal percent of what really exists in the spirit world. You don't have to attract it, but you really have to look at what your thoughts, words, and actions, what you're putting into your body, And being with Mother Nature, drinking lots of water, it's your good intentions that give you the best protection.
So what if you think you have something like this going on? What do you do?
Well, people talk about exorcisms and shamans and doing all, you know, whatever works for them. I find that it is a matter of that person's intention. I really do want to change, and it starts in all the little things that they do and how they take care of themselves and what they put into their body and what they focus on, because you tend to get what you focus on. So if it's the shaman or if it's energy healer, we all humans on the earth have the ability to channel the universal life force through us and to heal ourselves. But there's nothing wrong with getting a little help from our friends.
This is one area I know a little bit about. If you get drunk in a bar room, you're very likely to pick up one of these things. And the only way you can ever get rid of it, and this happened to my own father, I didn't understand at the time it was happening to him. The only way you can get rid of it is to stop drinking, period. Then they will leave because, as Mark pointed out, they want to be able to get drunk. The same is true with drugs. If you're out of control in these fields, you may well have picked up a passenger, and that passenger will only leave you if you will stop the whatever the practice is that has attracted them in the first place. So, Mark, tell people how they could reach you, because there's so many things you're able to do. You're a holistic practitioner. You've been doing this for so many years. And many people are attracted to the notion of doing things in a natural way and not just taking drugs. So how would people reach you if they wanted to learn more?
Well, if they contact my website, soulproof.com, my contact information is on there. I'm practicing less and less these days because I'm trying to help people around the world, because these same sorts of problems we're discussing, it's happening all around the world. So the number, I mentioned the free articles that address many different facets, challenges people have if they're feeling suicidal, for example. And then the number one product I recommend for people is my book called Radiant Wellness. It was endorsed by Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and, all kinds of people like that, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And so it addresses how to fine-tune yourself in body, mind, and spirit. And this gets into all the nutrition, the inner cleanse, getting out the chemicals, heavy metals, how to reach that balance. So the Radiant Wellness book, the free articles, I talk a lot about nutrition response testing, or NRT, and there are practitioners all around the country. So people don't have to come to me. There are other people who are just as good or better than me in your own area, so you can get tuned up. So if any listeners have questions or needs, feel free to email me and I'll reply.
That's wonderful, Mark. Thank you. And Suzanne, if people are interested in some of your classes that you're now giving in intuition and contacting our guides and so on, or maybe they have an indigo child they're interested in talking to you about, how would they reach you?
CarefreeMedium.com. CarefreeMedium.com. And I'm also under Carefree Medium on all the social media. That's how you can find me. I'm also, like Mark, a certified hypnotherapist. I focus only on past life regressions. And so I offer those as well. And I just want to say to people, we all have to be warriors of light, because as this consciousness on the earth is shifting into the higher vibe, into more of a compassionate nature, we're going to see, as Mark alluded, more dark energies that want to compete with that, and souls on the earth that in the living that are rebelling against the higher shift. They feel it. It bugs them. They don't know why, and they may act out. The light will win. The light will prevail. We are going to have peace on earth. But meanwhile, we've all got to do our parts, and it starts with ourselves.
That's beautifully said. I'm so glad that you both were with us today. This has been really enlightening, and of course, I'll have you both back again as guests. To talk about. Mark, I want to have you back specifically to talk about your book because that fascinates me. I didn't even realize you'd written a book like that and that was so well endorsed. I think a lot of people are anxious to get more information about how they can take care of their bodies and nourish them properly and be healthy and balanced. So we'll be looking forward to doing that.
Look forward to it.
Thank you both for being here. Consider yourselves hugged and we'll be talking.
Thank you, Roberta.
Hugs back.
Hugs back as well. This has been Roberta Grimes on Seek Reality, and I'm so glad you could join us today. Hasn't this been fun? Never forget.
Wonderful.
Never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you really get what that means, I mean, deeply understand it in your heart, it will change everything in your life for the better. Because what it does is it helps you realize that you are eternal. Truly, you are eternal. You're indestructible. And nothing will be the same in your life again. You feel so good, so healthy, so powerful, and so full of love. And that's what I wish for all of you. Next week, our guest is going to be our wonderful friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan, another frequent guest. He's president of the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, or AREI, and the AREI Symposium just ended, was September 15 to 17 of 2017. It was absolutely fantastic. Both Susanna and Mark were there, and they both made a big splash. It was wonderful. This was the best one we've ever done. We tried to cap attendance at 500 because that was the hotel ballroom's limit, but we ended up with more like 525, and it was truly and profoundly a love fest. I mean, you could feel it in the hallways. Everybody was smiling and laughing, and I've just been reading some of the reviews from the attendees. It was truly wonderful. And there was some groundbreaking stuff done in the area of communication. That's one of the things I want Craig to talk with us about next week. You don't want to miss this. This is going to be great. Of course, this week we've been speaking with Suzanne Wilson and Mark Pitstick about the topic of mental illness and the afterlife. If you have a loved one struggling with mental illness, you really need to think more sincerely and more concretely about getting them positive help, because help is available. And please understand above all that it's just the brain. The brain is temporary. The person's mind is eternal, and that mind is whole and healthy. If you have a loved one who died, with a mental illness, don't worry about that person because they are deeply loved and their minds are eternal. So they're getting expert care. It really, truly is all good. And you have nothing whatsoever to fear. You know what all my books are. And of course, if you ever need to contact me or would like to, or just want to say howdy, just send a contact to robertagrimes.com. I do answer all contacts. Sometimes it takes a few days though. I get so many. And for now, please have a wonderful, wonderful week in our one reality, always knowing that you are truly a powerful, eternal being. Nothing can ever harm you. And you in particular are infinitely loved. We'll see you next week.